Hello, 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 and welcome to the Rag Company Podcast, where I'm your host, Dane Hennen, and to my right, Levi Gates.
Oh, Dane, thank you.
Nice. And to my left, Anthony Fisher.
Hey, Dane, thanks for having me here.
Things are going great around here. It's very festive. It's very fall in here. I really like the vibes, and I see the comments are rolling in, which is always nice to see. Yeah, a little bit more on the spacing there.
So yeah, a little bit more wider.
The handles. Yeah,
good.
There we go.
Well, all right. Well, Dane, who was supposed to get our PSLs today?
What PSLs?
Pumpkin spice lattes.
Oh.
I just, you know, I want to really get festive.
Are you that hungry for one? I mean, we're all enjoying this PMD, Peach Mango Dawn. By our friends at Mountain Dew.
Not to be confused with the dish soap, right? Which is more of a scent rather than a flavor.
Peach mango.
It's a bean maker flavor. Like groceries, that's
I know. It's close. It's just not quite folly enough, in my opinion.
True.
You know, I would like a peach cobbler rice.
It's like a
maybe.
Harvest peach.
You know, I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if our friends over at Bang Energy created a peach cobbler Bang. They've created every other flavor.
That would be an awesome addition to anybody's Thanksgiving,
it's just
I think.
Pumpkin pie.
I'm really tired from all of the effects of the turkey, but you know what? I'm going to take this big jab of, like, wake-you-up juice right now at the end of the
bounce.
Night.
It's Bang. It's turkey and cranberry flavor,
My. That's a good time right
sick.
There.
Happy
Monday back to you, Jimmy Moto. And I saw you're trying to use a discount code at Brooks.
So, Jimmy, what I will say, though, is if you spend over $150 at brooksrunning.com, get yourself a not only do you get free two-day shipping, you also get a Brooks duffel bag.
Wow.
For, nice. Maybe the gym.
Yeah.
Maybe put your car care products in.
Ooh, absolutely.
Maybe, maybe need it for a trip, a little vacation. You know, maybe like going out of
things.
Town for Thanksgiving.
Can you leave
put your
notes
clothes in the Brooks Running?
Can you leave notes on a Brooks order? Like you can leave notes.
I'm
on
sure
orders?
You can.
If you can, you should tell them that we sent you.
Yeah. Say love. They love
they
the
might,
shoes and love the rag company.
They might look on that very kindly and say, "Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Guess we."
No, we've
know
been
where this
we've been
from.
Talking to them. We're trying to get some stuff going, but you never know. Point is, though, current stuff, free shipping all the time on the website, free two-day shipping if you spend over $100 on their website, and right now, $150 gets you that free Brooks duffel bag.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think I'm going to get you just picked up some new shoes.
I didn't.
Oh, Jimmy.
You didn't?
I didn't. What? I'm waiting for you to order those Brooks shoes or whoever else wants to get in on that.
Oh, you want
to
get some more?
Yeah.
Okay. Those well, maybe Brooks. Maybe Friday I'll get.
Okay.
I'll throw it
down
and get
I think
my
Jimmy
new shoes.
Forgot to leave a note.
You missed that Brooks deal because I spent almost $500. Jimmy, it was on the website. It literally said spend $150, get that. So unless it was last week.
Wow.
You know, hopefully there's little deals not
so,
over.
So Jesse's wanting to know what Rag Company product makes the best Thanksgiving
Jesse.
Oh.
Yeah,
personally, I'm a big fan of the Fender Defender.
Thanks,
right?
Jesse. Yes, I appreciate
that
you jumping in.
That is the correct answer.
It covers more
Fender
surface
Defender,
area.
It's a great product. That's Jesse from ExoShield.
Very nice.
It's great. Fits in nice, long.
It's not meant to absorb the way the other towels
no,
are
but
necessarily,
it fits. It's,
which is good.
Yeah,
you don't
it
want it to.
Well, typically, I like to wear a Fender Defender when I go to crab feeds. Right? I love delicious Dungeness.
Cracking
crab,
those bad
right?
boys open.
Snow crab legs, right?
When
Alaskan
I lived in Squim,
king crab,
that's
right?
where the Dungeness River is. That's where the Dungeness exits into the ocean.
So the thing
that's
is,
where Dungeness
Dane,
crab comes
I don't
from.
Want those. So Dungeness crab, least favorite, right? I like to call those mud crabs. They're basically just like crawfish.
Yeah, you
larger,
want the king
right?
crabs.
I want that nice big man. Meat. Dip that into that garlic butter and really enjoy.
Yeah.
Now, there's no other fan of shellfish than me, than Levi Gates. I mean, like, Levi.
Horribly allergic to shellfish.
Levi.
Something bad will happen.
Loves getting down on some delicious
sounds
shellfish.
Sounds delicious.
Oh,
yeah.
Boy.
It's a so
wonderful type of aquatic meat that that is
honestly
encased inside of a shell.
Okay, the thing is, it's not loose meat, is it? Because Dane's fear
I love
loose
meat. I'm a big loose meat fan. I love delicious. I like pulled pork sandwiches. I love brisket sandwiches.
I love ground beef. I like ground beef mixed with sauce and made into
ground,
a sandwich called a manwich.
Ground turkey.
I don't like that.
Sauce sandwiches. I like taking a little bit of brisket. You know, you can go down to the Albertsons, the fancy Albertsons, right? Pick up actual brisket.
Wow.
You can get a couple slices of brisket. Bring that home. Cut that up. Shred it. throw it in with your ground beef. When you're browning your ground beef.
The Day Meats cooking show isn't for another week.
Crack that can of manwich, pour it on there.
I love all that.
Saute all that. Man. Maybe you want to throw a little cheese in to goo it up, make it a little gooier so it holds together a little more.
I've never done that before. It's
a way to rock and roll. Then you throw that cheese back on top.
You might be on to something.
Going back to what I would say, though, I would love to take G. Davis to a crab feed. I feel like me and him and Dane at a crab feed.
We call those crustaceous.
But, you know, it'd be a good time. So, a little bit of housekeeping.
Okay.
So, thank you to everyone who was able to catch our Veterans Day flash sale. And save 20% off. We thought that was kind of just a special gift, right, to give back to, you know, our friends that have served and maybe people that haven't, but maybe wanted to still pick something up, maybe as a gift or something like that for the upcoming weeks, maybe the holiday season. So, from there, right, we have that sale, right? And then we have maybe another sale coming up maybe this week, potentially, and then maybe potentially about two weeks. Well, definitely in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Well, It's
about a week and a half now, right?
It's coming close.
We're coming up quick. And so Black Friday will be here. Black Friday, Cyber Monday.
Tends to be one of the biggest sales days of the entire year.
It is.
For everyone.
Yeah.
Everyone.
For everyone. Most companies. Things of that nature.
So on that note, before we dive into our weekends, you know, Black Friday coming up, right? Is there anything that you guys are particularly looking at maybe for your garage, maybe anything that you're using to maybe elevate your detailing hustle on the side, maybe anything to help with your storage solution options, aka or also your lighting solution options, anything like that, Dane? Anything to help better
that we're looking at, like anything in the world?
Anything that's reasonable that you'd be considering buying for Black Friday?
Okay. I'm tempted. I don't think I've got the cash yet. We'll see. I've got a couple jobs I got to finish. Got a couple more that I need to schedule that I want to try and get done before Black Friday because I would like to use some of that money to then purchase. But I'm thinking a toolbox like what you have. Rolling top toolbox. I was hoping you were going to say that, right?
Because
a flat top.
I mentioned this workbench in my garage tour video. I said I bought pretty much all this stuff that I have in my garage on Black Friday. So all the Husky cabinets, the toolbox with the wood tops on it.
I don't need any of that.
Big cabinets. But the reason being that, and then also that Husky toolbox has all those tools in it, right? You can get those for a screaming good deal. I think like those.
That's what I'm hoping.
You know those rolling chests, that smaller rolling chest I have? I think it was $99.
That's what I'm kind of hoping.
$100.
Yeah, if I can get one for about $100, it's about what I'm looking at spending. I don't like spending a ton of money on stuff.
Yeah.
But if it's going to make sense in the garage and I'm going to use it, then I want to do it.
Well, the bigger one I have, right, was $200, right? Because that was the old model before they added the electrical thing to it. So now you can plug a thing into it now.
Yeah.
But I think they were trying to like really like super clearance them. So I ended up getting that for $200, which is an insanely good deal. So that to other garage racking, I mean, I think anything in that Husky lineup, you're going to get for a good deal at Home Depot.
So I've got a spot right next to my fridge that is just some totes with little like so I can throw stuff in.
Your fridge or you mean your freezer?
I mean my freezer.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking a smaller, thinner
stackable totes.
Yeah, the little stackable totes. I want to kind of slide that over, get that out of there, and replace it with a small stand-up toolbox just so I can have stuff readily available. I have an old toolbox that I've had since I was like 18 sitting on my workbench, but I'd like to have a nicer setup because I have all my tools in a duffel bag at the moment.
Yeah.
I have easy grab-and-goes on the walls, but then my main tool set is there, and so I'd like to get another tool set for junkyard. I'd like to create a new junkyard toolkit. That's kind of my goal. Go bag, and then I want to take the rest of my main tools and put them away and actually organize them so they look a little nicer and I have readily, you know, easier access to them. Of course, I'm still going to find hammers out in the front yard. I'm still going to find stuff that Augie has decided to appropriate.
As I say, those are Augies now.
You know, but if I have a lock on it or something, I can put the keys up high where I can't get them, you know, then I might be able to save them a little more. Yeah. But that's kind of my thing. What are you looking at, Dave?
Fair. You know, I'm just keeping it open-ended. I'm kind of one of those guys who will look and just see something and on a whim decide, yep, I'll get that.
Okay.
But, nice. You know, planning has never been my strong suit with these kinds of things because I know it when I see it.
Yeah.
But my problem is when it comes to any kind of projects around the house or on the cars and stuff is I tend to buy a tool for something and I use it once and then it just sits.
That's all right. Nothing wrong with that because the next time someone has that issue,
the next time it pops up, it's like, oh, yeah, I've got that very specific niche tool that there's no other reason to have it except this one time because it was cheaper than going to a guy who can use it for you kind of thing. Yeah, those are the situations I find myself in. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I guess that's basically the gist.
Yeah.
So what are you looking at, Anthony?
How do I say this? Things I'm looking for, potentially, right? So there's pegboard things that I'm kind of looking for. Maybe do like a pegboard feature, right?
Yeah.
Not really into pegging, but I really like the idea of just getting things up on the wall.
You like being able to put stuff in holes.
Sure.
Yep, yeah. Exactly. And so from there, I'll probably, I don't really need more tools necessarily, but what I want to do is cycle out of some of my old stuff I have. So I have like, how do I say this? Old random tools, like, you know, let's just say like little clamps and certain things like that that are Harbor Freight specials from like 10 years ago that are already broken.
Oh, yeah.
That I've just been like making work still. Right. I'm like, I can make it work. You know, it'll
do you
be
need
fine.
A sandblaster but by like, any chance?
No, I don't need a sandblaster. So I need some things like that I probably need to restock up on. And so I think I'm planning on spending maybe like $100 at Home Depot and getting anything I can for like $100 in that realm of tool stuff. And then if there's a good deal on anything for the garage, I'll probably pick that up too. So, yeah, we'll see. I was going to think maybe garage flooring might be a good thing for Black Friday. I don't know when I'm going to have time to do that ever. So
at least 10 years.
Yeah, at least 10 years. So I think I'm going to hold off on that. But I don't know. Maybe in electronics I'm looking into. I could potentially be getting a new free TV today.
Nice.
From Nick's father.
Oh,
it's a got free some, OLED is hard to argue.
Yeah,
with.
Free and TV. What for?
Cool with that. So to replace my 500-pound plasma.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Who's taking that?
That I don't really know at this point. I'll let you know.
can I put it on a wall in the garage?
You're playing an Xbox Series X on a 1080p TV.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's time to.
I know. That's what Dane's been telling me. He's like, "Hey, you should probably enjoy your gaming a little bit more."
You got the nice hardware for outputting the graphics, and I just need something that can actually receive the signal and output it.
True. but that's pretty much it. I don't know. Maybe some tools. Maybe some garage stuff. But I highly recommend for people just to do some research on your own because I hate saying that, do your own research, but go online,
right?
Search around because if there's anybody that's been looking to maybe update their garage with what
the niche tool gee.
Is, oh my gosh.
It's too early in the morning
killing
for
me,
this.
Gene, I love it.
So I'm going to cover your comment with another one.
So what I was trying to say though, is for anybody wanting to maybe pick up like a DI system. I have no idea, but
what kind
maybe
of
CR Spotless might be running a deal, right? Like, I don't know.
You don't know.
If they run like $100 off on a Spotless kit, I highly recommend people to buy one because they're awesome. Or maybe the Husky Silent Flow air compressor, right?
That is a man, just a beautiful little workhorse.
It is.
It does everything amazing. You need it to, and it's a lot less. It still makes noise, but it's a lot less. I remember we were doing the podcast and I was in my garage and I had to stop because I said, I got to go turn off the air compressor. And you guys were like, I can't even hear it.
I said,
really?
Yeah.
Like I can, it's making noise. And you guys are like, yeah, it's not picking it up on the mic. So just one of those things. And I know you felt that the moment you switched over, just the soothing. It's more of a, it's like when we talk about when we travel, you know, you like when we share a hotel room together because my snoring is rhythmic. You're able to still somewhat relax where somewhat. Dane is more chaotic snoring.
Do you like jazz?
Yeah.
So, Dane's snoring is like freeform jazz. Yeah. It's a little harder to follow.
Freeform with lots of dear weird saxophones and maybe
throwing
in a trumpet here and there.
And that's what it
that
was like for
has
you.
No right being in this song.
But that was what it was like for you with your old air compressor.
Yeah.
It just would rattle and make a bunch of noise. And then the new Husky, just nice, quiet, even, simple, consistent airflow.
But maybe I'm thinking for detailers out there, mm-hmm. right? Maybe it's deals that things to look forward to. Maybe Rupes might be doing not
well, we all know but Matt's going to be doing his Black Friday
maybe
special.
Maybe a distributor of Rupes if the people want to pick up a new tool or something. Matt, what does Matt do? Matt does 10% off, right?
10% off.
Yeah. So anybody
that's a big deal for him.
It's the only time he runs a sale.
He hates running sales.
Yeah. But that, I don't know. I just think that people are probably wanting to pick up some cool things, especially with our new Relatable Garage series, right?
Yeah.
More things that are hashtag relatable.
There you go. Yeah.
We should probably record some more Relatable Garages.
We should do a little Instagram Live or something. You and I would go to Home Depot, three of us maybe. We just go to Home Depot and look around.
On Black Friday? That would be kind of fun. You're off, though.
I'm out. I'm not. I'm out here. I'm going
to
be
so
in
who
Utah.
Could I take with me to go look at some deals? Dane. Because I think
Relatable Garage Home Improvement Tour.
Well, so Dane's like, don't worry, guys. I used to work here, right? And like, opens
that is
the
a problem.
Back,
I find
the
back
remember that time Dane climbed up moved the ladder and climbed up and got something, and Jeff was like, yeah, get it, Dane. And
I'm usually
guy was
not
like,
that
excuse
assertive,
me, sir.
But because I knew in that moment, I'm like, they're gonna ignore us this whole time. I was an employee. They say don't climb up the ladders if you're not. Screw that. I'm just gonna do it. I know exactly where this is. Let's get it. Let's go.
Yep.
And we were fine.
That was probably the best time. I love seeing when Dane breaks rules and
yeah,
laws.
Yeah, I'm very uncomfortable.
It's one of my favorite things to
I
see.
Have to do that.
I love it.
I just
it gets me excited.
Me too. He's like
seeing him blow through toll booths.
Yep. So uncomfortable. I hate
without
that
slowing down. I said, Dane, this is how you do it, man.
Yeah.
I love
it. Our faces are telling other Home
like
Depot guys
to
just like go to town. I'm getting this.
He's throwing pocket lint and change out the window.
Just take it.
Not even in the
so
the jar.
Maybe depending on what happens on Black Friday, I have no idea. I have no idea who's even going to be in the office, but maybe one of us can go down to Home Depot if it's not too crazy and just like walk around and be like, this is a good deal. This is a good deal. This is a good deal. And maybe people can say, well, I'm heading to Home Depot now. If that's the case.
That was a good
I just
idea.
Don't know if it changes my store.
Thing is, when you go into business like that, you got to be low key when you're filming. If you're bringing an obvious camera, they don't like that.
Oh, well.
If you do it with your phone, though.
G. Davis wants to know, Anthony, if you're at the point yet where you can ignore the baby crying to use the racing sim for a few hours.
No, not there.
Have you put her on your chest while you do the racing sim?
Unfortunately not. She's just, I don't know what I need to do to be able to make that happen. I think I need to bring her bassinet and like angle it and like have it next to me while I'm doing that so I could still kind of like grab her foot while I'm racing.
Right.
Paddle shifters.
The bassinet comes with a racing harness.
Yeah.
All right. So
just
let's
mount
ahead.
It to the back of the harness.
Yeah.
The seat, so that way she gets some movement.
It's like a little baby Bjorn going on here. Just like, okay.
She probably enjoys the sounds of it.
Be fun. Yes.
So let's go ahead and jump into some weekends here. I want to get started with Dane, I think.
Oh, Dane, tell us about your weekend.
I mean, I kept it pretty simple with the exception of listing the truck for sale finally. And that I knew was going to be a bit of an uphill battle because people look at it differently when you've won something and then you're turning around and selling it. Because
they
don't
look at you differently or they look at the truck differently?
I think it's mostly the truck, just the price on it. Like
they're not
just
judging
like,
you.
Yeah.
No.
So I'll just cut straight to the chase of like the very first message I got was exactly what I'd been fearing, which was, oh, look, somebody who was probably familiar with the contest immediately jumped in and decided to leave a super snarky comment, which was, I'll give you $500 because that's what you spent to get it. And I was like, cool guy on Facebook Messenger. That's
nice.
Exactly the kind of response I
classy.
Didn't want to get. Mm-hmm. Classy. And, you know, this guy, I look and, like, I'll admit, I've been profiling everybody who, reaches out to me. Yeah, because I look and I'm sorry, but there's some towns where I look and I go, yeah, no, you're just going to harass me. You're not even worth the time to talk to. Like, I'm sorry, but you don't look like you can afford this truck. Sorry.
Jeez, Dane.
I know it's harsh, but at the same time, I mean,
Dane can't afford it. That's why he's selling it.
I'm going based on like the vehicles that are already in their driveway, and I'm just like, okay, if somebody who has like this early Acura Integra and then this second gen Dodge Ram in their driveway,
what are you trying?
They're a little rough,
yeah.
You know,
Dodge
little
Ram
rough.
And Integra sounds like a friend of ours.
Yeah,
sounds like one of us.
Sounds like me.
I'm just throwing out like a hypothetical, except it's, you know, something, some things I saw.
Yeah.
And I just look and I go, yeah. And it's like from like Melba or Jerome, yeah, or something like that. And I'm like, I get it. People there like big trucks. That's cool and everything. But then I'm looking at like,
out there, Dane.
Where are you coming? Where are you going to?
A lot of money, a lot of farm money.
I'm sorry. I'm just trying to figure out and make the mental math. I realize it's super judgmental. And, you know, if it's housing, you can't do this. But when you're selling a car, you're allowed to be.
Well,
a
it could
picky.
Be housing.
No, but I'm saying like there are laws against profiling on housing. Obviously, that's not good. But in the case of a car,
so
yeah.
To
I'm
be
sorry.
Fair, though, Dane, the
it
reason
doesn't
you
look
are
like yeah. you can jump from that to a $125,000 truck.
To be fair,
sorry.
The reason you are selling it is what a lot of people don't realize.
Oh,
when you win these, yeah. when you win a prize, you are
you owe taxes
and, on the value,
and it's
of
not
that
just
prize.
A little bit,
it's and it's a lot taxed it. At. Almost 50% of the value?
Yeah, no, it's a good chunk. So, I mean, realistically, we're talking tens and tens and tens of thousands, like 30 plus.
Yeah.
That
you're
going to
that's going to be a tax bill.
Yeah.
That you're going to have to pay.
And so, let's be honest, Dane, so right now at this point in time, you already had to pay when you registered the vehicle.
When I registered, it was already like $5,000 just to
okay.
register.
Right, so
it.
Just to register $5,000 to register it, mm-hmm. right? And then you have a little bit of other money wrapped up into it right now.
Yeah, I you know, little things
yeah, a little
like
here,
that.
Little
but
here
like
and there. Probably another $1,000 in gas, right?
Mm-hmm. every time I fill up is about between 100 and 140 bucks, depending. Every okay. time you fill it so, up. Mm-hmm. You know, these are things that people just
right.
don't think
they
about.
Don't, and that's the biggest thing that I think a lot of these tire kickers that you're getting,
yeah.
They think, oh, you're selling this truck that you got for free, but it's not free.
Yeah, when he offers 500, and the funny thing was, I spent more than 500 just on the merch in order to win the truck. I spent
right.
more like 600 plus. So, right. yeah, and to make it even more comical, that was with money I made off of Dogecoin, so that's a whole other thing.
Well, but
anyway,
the hard part so. Is, too, is like, let's just
it's
take
all first. Just random, happy occurrences
right.
that worked
but,
out.
But the point is, like, let's but, take like our buddy Brett. And his cars.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He won a car. He had to pay taxes and he got cash with the cars.
Mm-hmm. And those
he basically
cars,
told us, he goes, the amount of cash that they gave me, I had to sit on for a year
mm-hmm.
because we're going to use that to pay the taxes. And thankfully, they gave him enough cash to cover those taxes mm-hmm. and he's not going to be out a lot. Some of the other prizes that you see and folks that are doing it is they're giving you a vehicle, but they don't give you cash to help back it up. So at least you've got a portion of the cash. But like we yeah. said, people forget when you went to go register that truck, you
that's
had to register it for the full retail
of
the vehicle.
Yeah. And a lot of people, and this is where it gets into
you know,
like murky
you know,
territory,
any of those kids
where you get
do
people
that.
Whispering in your ear where they're just like, oh, you don't have to do that. You can finagle this, that, and the other thing. And I'm like, I'm just going to be honest, pay the fee. It sucks. Yeah. But at least then I don't have to like wake up in a sweat yeah. at night of like, did I pay that thing? It's like, no, I just did
but
it.
But the point
whatever.
Is,
it's
you're going to sell it so
but,
that,
yeah.
one, you can, because you are going to be on the hook for that tax bill,
yeah.
regardless,
mm-hmm.
whether you keep the truck or you sell it.
Yeah, no, that doesn't change whether
that,
I have the
that
truck or not.
That doesn't change because it
I
still shows
truck,
his income this year.
If I see, the problem a lot of people look at this, they see it and they go, oh, must be nice to have the great big truck and all that stuff. And it's fun. Don't get me wrong. It's absolutely fun. But these things cost money to maintain and upkeep and all that kind of stuff. Just in the normal, you know, day to day. But when it comes down to it, yes, if I have that sitting in my driveway, I'm not being ungrateful when I say like it's like $125,000 paperweight sitting in my driveway of yeah. like that is so much life changing money that could be better spent on paying off bills or doing other things.
Right. Or getting you a truck that fits in your
getting
driveway.
Getting into a truck that actually fits in my driveway
buying
and
Jimmy
some other
a house.
Things. It's
yeah.
definitely, and I realize it's so hard to sound like not super entitled and privileged
no.
and all that stuff.
And that's
I,
not
I
it.
I am privileged.
Yeah.
I am
but that's
you know,
not
privileged
it.
In that,
that
sense.
That is not
but
it.
To keep it and have to pay that stuff on top becomes a vastly more expensive proposition than simply selling it and coming out at like, okay, you have a little bit left over, but at least you're in the clear.
Yeah.
And you're good. And, you know, I've had the fun experience with the truck. Like, I've driven it all around. I've gone up north and all that stuff. It's been cool. But I'm not going to lie. It's nerve-wracking driving that thing around just
well, like
those rubber band tires. Anything could happen to your wheels and stuff. And the wheels are like $2,500, $3,000 a piece. It just becomes a numbers game where you're like, it's just a matter of time before I'm wearing down the value on this thing. And that's why when I bought my Jag, I bought it super depreciated. $100,000 car, I bought it for like 20 grand,
yeah,
give or take. So I like depreciated things because then the risk of all the other expenses that could come along with it have mostly been allayed at that point, and I can absorb them if I need to because I have a little bit of a cushion built in by way of them being cheaper than they otherwise would have been.
Right.
With this, no, I didn't pay a full, you know, amount for the truck to get it. I won it as a giveaway. But at the same time, you're dealing with the very real cost as if you had bought it,
right,
of mm-hmm. all these other things. Well, so what, it's just something a lot of people fail to
understand until
they're in that position.
Well, like the Diesel brothers, they were giving trucks away all the time. But the problem was they were giving away so many trucks every few months that people were having a hard time mm-hmm. because they'd find out that all their trucks were getting put back, or you have the issue of people who win that vehicle and they don't know the tax issue.
Oh,
there was a vehicle that was given away that I heard that the first person that won it turned it down because they said, I don't have the means or mm-hmm. the income to even one, register the vehicle or two, pay the taxes on it. And they had to turn it. They were the winner. They had to turn it down. So they went to the next person. And that's the very first question usually is, just so you know, you're on the hook for this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And some of these 18, 20-year-old kids that are writing you, that are living in these towns and making these snide remarks, they don't have that kind of funding.
And I knew as soon as I listed it, I was going to get some snarky comments. Like, I have a varying degree of skin thickness depending on where it's coming from and what the message is and all that stuff. But sometimes I get these and I'm just like, is this guy joking? Is he serious? I mean, come on. Like, he's making a joke. And I responded to him. And turns out he was like, oh, wow, I'm so happy you actually have a sense of humor. He goes, good luck with the sale, man. Like, I didn't mean anything mean by it. I was actually just making a fun joke here. Like, you didn't block me, so credit to you for not getting mad at it. And I'm like, okay, dude's just playing.
So, all right, so moving on from there.
So moving on from there. That was a long tangent. But I think it's important people understand. Yeah,
we will see what happens.
It's on eBay.
It's on
eBay. I've got it on AutoTrader. I've got it on CarGurus. I've got it on Craigslist, and I've got it on Facebook Marketplace.
Nice. So there you go. If you guys want to buy that booty,
all you need to do is look for the most expensive F-350 on there.
So we'll see what happens. So what else do you do this weekend?
So beyond that, I finally got around to decorating the van with some little things because I was really excited.
Ooh, decorations.
What can we look forward to seeing here?
We had some of these extra leaves. He stuck some of those on.
Yeah.
He put some of these in the dashboard. They're strewn about.
It's going to seem like really played out and silly, but I got myself a little Lucky Fortune cat for my dashboard.
Ooh.
A little solar-powered guy.
I see that.
Yeah. It's just a cute little guy. I think it's a nice
and
fit.
You did a hanger, too. As well.
Yeah, I've got them hanging off the mirror
okay,
there.
Okay, two of them.
I need
double
this
the
van
luck.
To feel authentic, so.
Double the
there
luck.
There it goes. I love it.
Oh my God.
It's so dumb, but I do love it. And yeah, he's sitting on a cushion of a command strip there, but whatever.
That's
cool.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, so I already love the little guy.
You got that set up now, and car's running smoothly.
Yeah, van's running great.
Electrical issues, if you want to call it that, were all figured out.
So
it was a fuse.
Replaced all the fuses. It was another case of I swore up and down it wasn't the case until we did it, and it's like, okay, you're right. Yeah, you got me. So, yeah, it was basically just because of the order of the way the fuses worked. One downline, everything else wasn't working, so one went bad. So I replaced literally all the fuses. Mm-hmm. Just got a new kit, put them all in there, and everything seems to work, except now I notice my side marker light and my door light on the driver's side are both out, so I think that's a bulb issue, so I'm just going to deal with those later. But yeah, little things, put some stickers on the van, starting to decorate it a little bit, but now I got to get to wrapping it, right?
Yeah, that's
but that
job.
Means I got to clean what's left of that residue from the adhesive on the sides. And we all know how that went the first mm-hmm. time
Do you want
tried.
Me to get that eraser wheel, Dane?
Oh.
You don't even have to clean it off. Let me just get
burn
in
a
there
hole.
Just, and just start burning
just
paint.
Like a friggin' buzzsaw. He's going to get out like a belt sander and just...
That actually wouldn't be too bad of an idea.
Oh,
probably
man.
Get it off that way.
I mean, if I was planning on repainting it, I wouldn't think twice. But... The paint on it is good in places. It's just
places.
It's not really consistent. So, yeah, I want to wrap it.
Okay.
But the problem is I want to either wrap it or paint it. I don't want to have to do both because that's just really expensive. But
if I wrap it, it's going to last the entire time I have the vehicle, I think. So it should be okay.
There you go.
As long as I take care of it.
But anything else?
That was the extent of it. I watched Shang-Chi
finally. Ooh, what'd you think?
Weekend. It was fun. I enjoyed it. It got, you know, kind of Marvel fight at the end, typical third act battle thing. But I really enjoyed the ideas they had in it. And it was, you know, visually at least, compelling and fun and different from some of the other ones that are out there. So I did like that about it. I would say it was above average to good. Is it my favorite one? Maybe not, but I think like it was fun to watch. It definitely was more fun than some of the other Marvel
movies. Where would you rate that on a scale? So would you say it's better than this Marvel movie, but not as good as this Marvel movie?
Okay. I mean, if I'm really thinking about it, like one of the most fun ones was Thor Ragnarok.
Correct. So not
I put that one very high.
So not as good as Thor Ragnarok, right? No,
but I would say it was more fun than like, I mean, you get there's so many at this point, it's hard to keep track.
Better than like maybe like one of the Avengers ones. Better than maybe one of the Captain America ones.
Yeah, I liked it better than like maybe Age of Ultron. Something like that.
I think everybody liked everything better than Age of Ultron.
I mean, no offense, if we're putting it out there. Civil War, some people like that one better. But, I thought this one was more fun than Civil War.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Civil Wars aren't fun. But anyway, I'm not going to bother boring people with all my semantics.
But overall, a solid movie, though.
And then G. Davis, to be contrarian, comes in. Oh, come on, G.
Wow.
Almost didn't make it through. Phase 4 has been disappointing.
That's not true. I really like Shang-Chi. I thought that was probably one of my favorites.
Now, don't get me wrong. Some of the plot points and characters did feel pretty thin and not super well developed. But I think as something to watch and just purely be entertained by and not think about it too much, I enjoyed that. You know, more than a lot of the other Marvel movies I've seen.
Well, I just like the I think it had good and vibes.
Good vibes.
It was a good vibe movie, and I think that Awkwafina. At first, I was like, "Dang, I don't know about her," but then I actually enjoyed her part in it. I think that she was pretty fun.
She can teeter on that line between being fun to being just obnoxious.
Yeah. And she was more fun in this one rather than obnoxious.
Yeah, no, she fell more on that side of the spectrum. So I was happy with that.
Yeah, I read it.
I barely consider Venom a Marvel movie.
Oh, my God. That's not even... That is ridiculous. I'm taking offense to that. Mean that.
I put Venom very low on the quality spectrum of Marvel movies or any of that stuff. Because it's not part of the Marvel extended universe thing that they got set up with their other movies. But
you're telling me, though, that the Ten Rings aren't one of the most powerful weapons? I watched
it twice this weekend.
Yeah?
Because you liked it that much.
Because I liked it that much.
There you go.
I know.
I watched it the first time. I liked it. Then we watched it the second time. First, Carly and I watched it so we could see if the kids wanted to watch it. And we watched it, and we both found ourselves laughing and enjoying it.
It's a blast.
And having a blast. And we got done, then we were like, that was good. And then we watched it with the kids, and we even had more fun. And I look over at my wife, and she was smiling through the whole thing. She was so, she enjoyed it.
What did we say? Good vibes.
A blast. And I was like, that was awesome. And my kids liked it. Augie was a little he got nervous at some parts.
Okay.
But Hadley loved it. She thought that, she was like, that's my new favorite next to Captain Marvel.
It was getting a little Lovecraftian towards the end there.
She really liked it a lot. So,
but that's where people get mad if I critique something too hard one way. I draw a distinction between something can be a lot of fun and not be necessarily a great piece of art, but it's fun. It's fun.
I liked that they left room for a lot more.
Sure.
And that they didn't explain the power of those rings you just saw, but I like that they left room for a lot.
It was more of a
show
don't tell kind of thing.
There's a lot more that they can do. They can make 4 or 5 movies off those things. And encompass
they were
more
powerful.
And yeah, I agree with you. I was very impressed. So, G. Davis says, I go to Home Depot with you any day. I will not let you pick a movie, however.
So, Dane, finish off your weekend. What else did you do besides that? So, you watched that, had a good time.
Yeah. And apart from that, just built some more cars in Forza, did a little work around the yard, picked up leaves and stuff. Nothing too exciting on that front.
Other did you than dump just the leaves from the front to the back? Or
what's that?
Did you dump the leaves from the front to the back?
No, we had like a pickup. Like they offered to come pick up for the neighborhood if you just took like bags of leaves
what
outside.
The heck? Yeah, I need to get some leaf bags as well.
Yeah, I just ran them over with a mower.
See, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to like, I see all these people getting these good paper bags that are.
I don't know if I mentioned this one. This was like the life changing one for me. How did I forget this one? I got a dog door.
Ooh,
for my sliding door.
Yeah, dang, nice.
I had to wait ages, and I mean ages. Before I could get these sliding doors, because I always wanted to get a dog door, but part of the equation was
you got to find a hole to cut in your house.
I'm not cutting into my house.
Yeah, you got to
find a
spot.
So the alternative is get a sliding door dog door, and I didn't have sliding doors at the time, so I had to wait until I installed new sliding doors.
Yeah,
now I was able to finally receive the dog door with like weathered stripping and all the good stuff, and I put it in, and it took about. 2 hours to like train her how to use it, just like over time showing like you can push it, you can go through it. Uh-huh. And of course, like this dog door is huge because she's a big one, but
like a person size.
Like you always worry, like so, person size.
Just
but
so everybody
this
knows,
is...
we now know how to break into Dane's house. We can fit through that dog door.
There are security measures in place, but as far as the dog going through, during the time when I'm there, that door can remain open. But when I'm gone, the thing's getting shuttered.
So. Did you have any issues installing that sliding glass? Because I bought one of those first, and it wouldn't fit in my frame, and I had a heck of a time trying to get it, so I just took it back
and ordered the one where I had to cut the wall. But that's also because the sliding door I had installed in the back of my house, was built by the guy who lived in it first, and he did some weird things to like sizes and shapes of walls and things. So it's a little warped to begin with. It's a little weird. But that door... got me close enough. I was able to put this into the sliding track, and then I sealed everything up with the included weather stripping that they had. Then I went to Home Depot and bought more weather stripping, and I actually filled in more gaps and got like an actual sweep, put it on the sliding glass door to where it's like slid over the other part to make sure no air gets through there.
Yeah.
I'm because, you know, come winter, this dog door is only about that, you know, that thick. Compared to the sliding door, which is like Mondo compared to it.
Right, yeah.
Obviously there's a big difference in like what amount of heat and cold it's able to, you know, keep back or, you know, out. So in this case, it was a matter of like I need to seal up any and every crack I can find. I don't want to leave this to chance. And obviously the glass on this sliding, you know, dog door partition you add in is not the best glass. It's just okay glass. It's not going to keep out the heat or cold either. But I have found, with all the sealing done, I'm not feeling a draft from it. Things are good. Dog goes in, dog goes out. It's magnetized at the bottom, so it does not move unless she pushes on it, which is great. But yeah, she loves it. And for the first time in the entire time I have had her as a dog, I was able to get a full night's sleep.
Oh,
at least a couple of nights.
Very nice.
No, I think
not having
a
to
lot
get up in
of,
the middle of the night for multiple things like feeding or bathroom breaks.
I haven't experienced that.
So,
without having a baby, I felt like I have had a baby for the last. Eight years or so of just constant like whining at 2 a.m then 4 a.m then 6 a.m of like let him out, let him in, let him out, and it's always the same deal, and it's always get up groggily, stumble around, let him out. Now I finally don't have to do that. Perfect. And it feels amazing. I felt so much better waking up in the morning feeling like I actually got to sleep. I just it made a night and day difference for me, so I'm very happy with
that. I'm looking forward to Dane's Christmas party this year. We'll all have too many drinks, and then we all try to start climbing through the dog door, right? Like who can fit through the dog door? Right?
And then you're gonna break all the weather sealing I put on it.
Come through.
Jeez,
there.
Yeah. So. Thanks, G. Don't give Luke any ideas. Anyway, was my weekend, but that was probably. All things considered, that might have been the most important thing for health reasons that I did. So I feel like that counts towards it. Now, who would like to go next?
Well, I'll just tell you guys, all I did this weekend was work on that car in my garage.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. I also scheduled a 1929 Whippet as the next car, too, that I'll be working on probably in December. But... had Marcus come over Friday night, So got home Friday night. We worked on the car together. We sanded the whole side, both sides, driver's side, passenger side, actual sides, because I got all the top parts done. So we sat, block sanded everything.
What's he thinking of the result so far?
He really likes it. There's a picture of me.
Nice.
He's been enjoying it. So cool. He's been having a blast working on it with me. It's kind of fun because I'm finding defects and things, and then he's telling me the like what happened.
There's a story behind everyone.
So are the kids aren't allowed in the garage? Why
they,
the cars?
They are, but they're being very careful about it. Like they're trying to make sure. Like, and it's been cold and rainy, so I haven't had to worry too much.
So they're not riding their scooters.
No, I picture them. Bicycles, scooters, scissors.
No, I told them they're not allowed to touch that tree. Stuff. Yeah. So, but we've been, it was fun because I was like, hey, there's like a weird run on this side here. And he's like, oh, that was when I was spraying clear, a drop of sweat fell off my forehead and cut a canyon through the clear.
Oh.
And then I had to spray over it to fill the canyon. And I was like, I was wondering what that line was.
Fascinating.
And then I was like, what's this splatter in the clear? Like, you can see, like, looks like something dropped.
Very clearly
and then it
something.
Caused paint to like pop over onto stuff like a splash.
Yeah.
Then he goes, when I was laying the pearl white, it same thing, drop of sweat hit. And I was like, someone needs to wear a bandana.
Yeah.
And he started laughing and he goes, or not try to paint a car in the middle of July when it was 110 degrees in the booth.
Also a fair point.
And he goes, I was so hot in there. And but it's just kind of fun seeing stuff like that. We've seen little blowouts and stuff where he's like, dang it, I thought I taped this part better. And it's got, you know, but it all in all, you guys, you'll see it when it comes in here in a couple months. It's one of those cars where you're like, holy cow. And it's when you start looking at all the number of hours to mask and tape and lay these different layers of color and paint, it's bound to happen. There's bound to have some stuff.
This ain't no wrap job.
And this is his first time ever doing this. So. Yeah. Really impressive paint job, really cool, gorgeous colors. The colors are just coming out like crazy. The blue roses and the purple are just insane. I think that's become my most fun thing. But my process after sanding is I've been using the Oberk Thundercut wool and silk pad on the rotary with the last cut. That's been working really well at getting a good level, even cut. And then I've been using the Rupes coarse wool on the 15 with the last cut as my secondary. And then I've been final finishing with last cut and a tan Udos pad. And that has really given me a lot of clarity and depth. I still need to do one more polish. And realistically, I'd like to put something like Uno Protect or even one of the Kosh P601 or something on it before it goes to the show. But it's going to get, I can only do a couple steps on it, and then it's going to go get pinstriped. So the whole car is going to be pinstriped. Then it'll come back here to our studio before it leaves, and we'll give it a quick final polish and wax, kind of like what we did on the orange truck, where we'll just go over everything again, load it up, and then it'll head to the Grand National Roadster show
that
in L.A.
Dreammaker on there and send it
off. Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to do that. We'll get it loaded on Dreammaker and then get Dreammaker for them to put it on at the show just to help it glow a little more. But it'll be cool when it comes into our studio and we can finish
it. Is it getting trailered around or is it getting driven?
How's it's been that? Driven because it's just down the street.
Okay.
And they want to drive it. It's going to be a driver. But it's not getting driven to the show. The show is going to – it's getting driven around, but it's getting driven – it'll be trailered to the show.
Okay. So are you going to correct anything that gets wrong between when now and
– It's going to come here. Okay. After it gets pinstriped and the interior's done and everything, it's going to come here like the week before they leave. And we're going to touch it up and take photos and videos and do all our product stuff.
But they're going to be driving it between now and then.
Just to different places to get certain things done. But it's going to, we'll clean it up, put it in the trailer, and then it'll go to the Grand National.
Gotcha.
Get pulled out of the trailer, placed, and then they'll wipe everything down. So, and we'll teach them how to kind of wash it, how to take care of it, how to do some stuff too. So,
it's important.
It'll be cool, but it'll be, it's fun. But it's, I got one side done. So I got both sides sanded. I got one side polished out. Saturday, I was exhausted. I don't know what it was. Friday night, I don't know if just the sanding took a lot out of me, but Saturday I was exhausted. I cleaned our yard, tried to get, because it was nice out, and my mother-in-law called and said, just so you know, I think this is probably going to be the last weekend. If you want to mow, dropping a hint. And I said, okay. And so I took my lawnmower, mowed over all those leaves and the mulching setups. Going over. I mowed my front lawn twice, went around, mowed the backyard.
Feels and, good, doesn't it? Just get out there.
Back to the ground from
now. I have a bunch of mashed up leaves in my driveway, so I got to figure out that, and I got a bunch of pine needles and stuff, so I got to move all the cars out of the
pumpkins.
Way. And smashed pumpkins. I had to go around and pick up smashed pumpkins.
Oh, okay.
In my yard because of my kids. Pick up pumpkin guts and stuff, but also cleaned up the pumpkin patch. I got to take down all the corn husks, but I filled my compost trash can up. But did that, and then I went inside, and I was just really tired. Like, I was exhausted, and it's this weird level that I've been fighting since I got back from SEMA, just a strange level of exhaustion that I either am not getting enough sleep or I haven't been able to feel like that feeling like you haven't caught up on sleep.
It's like a battery that hasn't quite fully recharged.
Yeah,
and you just can't get past a certain point.
And that might just because I'm working in the evenings and I'm not like just chilling out enough or I'm staying up too late too. So I need to figure out that. But I went to the doctor this morning, made sure all my thyroid levels were good. Make sure everything's right because I've been tired. And everything seems good. All my numbers look good. So got my flu shot while I was there. And then that we'll see. But Sunday, my dad, my mom came over. My stepmom, all of them showed up to hang out for a couple hours.
Yeah.
My dad and I looked at the car. He talked about it. And he brought his 34 Chevy over. Mm. All in all, just a simple, easy, light weekend. Augie had a play date with a buddy of his. Hadley had a play date with a buddy of hers. We grabbed some pizza from Lucky 13. We got some Yokozuna teriyaki on Friday.
Nice.
Good little weekend. Nothing crazy. Nothing, too wild. But I'm going to try and finish that car tonight because I have an FJ Cruiser coming in this weekend. Ooh. That I have to compound. I do a two-step on it. Because the guy's getting ready to sell it. Thankfully, it's silver, but he's got some...
So it's been outdoors a lot.
He's got some nasty pinstripes on it. Yeah. He's like, I want to sell this, and I need to get rid of it and do this kind of stuff. So I said, yeah, we'll get it in. But he's kind of hitting me hard for it.
Those cruisers are going for stupid money right now.
It's kind of why he wants to sell it. He bought himself...
Newer cruisers?
Yeah, if it's an FJ cruiser, it's newer ones.
Yeah. It's like a 08, but it's only got about...
Because they used to not be that wanted of a vehicle.
Only got about...
They hit a certain point where they just stopped depreciating, and they've only been going up since.
Yeah. Oh, it's... He could probably...
What years were they made from?
Like 2006 or 7 to like 2012 or 2014.
Yeah, in that ballpark. But they're all like...
They're all 30 grand.
Basically, the cheapest ones you'll find are in the
300,000 miles,
16,000 range, and they just go up from there.
And they have high mileage.
Yeah.
So he's got like 86,000 miles on his.
He'll probably fetch 21, 22 at the minimum.
Yeah, and that's he thinks he could probably get 30 for
it.
What
color is it?
Silver and white.
Okay, that's an easy
one. And so he's like, I just need you to do the outside really bad. Mm. I can clean up the inside. I said, that's fine, whatever you want to do.
Neutral tones like that, it'll probably sell for close.
So I got to get that done this weekend and see what all we're going to get. But he bought a Ram Tradesman van. He's turning it into a camper van. He wants to sell the Land Cruiser and put the money into that.
Gotcha.
To build out this camper van. He's retired.
Oh.
And so for him, he's like, we got my wife's, he's like, I'm home every day. Like, I don't go anywhere. So he goes, I never drive this thing. He goes, but I want to put a lift on the Ram and I want to do all this stuff to,
sounds like fun.
To turn it into a big camping van and just have some fun with it. And so he's like, I'll take this money and put it into that.
More power to him.
Great idea.
Oh, it's a smart move.
But he built that house across the street from me. He built his house and lived in his trailer while they built the house, mm-hmm. him and his wife and his two kids. And so they built
tight quarters.
Yeah, they bought the property and then they literally just moved a tent trailer and lived in a tent trailer for like 8 months while they built their house. And I was like, I didn't know that. He's like, yeah, we just, we lived there for a while. And she's like, it was hard. We had to she goes, we'd go to the, to a place to like the YMCA to shower and his wife was like, it was not fun.
What you gotta do.
She's like, and he goes, I loved it. It was like we were camping. And I'm like, you're in the city. Like,
yeah,
that neighborhood wasn't that bad. Like that
camping for like a week is fun. Camping for 8 months.
So but that's been the kind of fun thing with the neatest thing with detailing my cars out in my driveway is getting to know the neighbors and kind of learning the history. The cool thing is my neighborhood, there's like five people directly around me that have been in the neighborhood since the 50s. And that's probably the neatest thing that I like is like learning the history of that, like of the neighborhood and what it was like and who lived where and all this stuff. My neighbors on either side of me have been there for 25 years.
You're the big Boise history buff, so.
I'm a huge history nerd when it comes to that stuff. So it's pretty fun just to hear and see and learn that stuff. But all in all, simple, easy weekend. Parents stopped by, hung out for a bit, saw the kids. And then that's it. This week, just what we got going on. I got to get that car done. That's the biggest thing.
Okay.
I'm kind of kicking myself that I didn't finish it this weekend. I should have.
Don't drive yourself insane doing it.
Yeah.
All right, but Anthony,
tell us about yours.
Oh, man.
Seems like you had some fun. Nothing to scream or yell about.
No, nothing like that, no, Dane. No. Nothing at all. So I think my Friday was pretty relaxed. Me and Katie just hung out inside. We just watched a couple of our shows. We've been watching, just taking care of the baby. You know, it was kind of nice because I think for pretty much Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, she had calmed down a lot of the fussing. Not as much fussing going on. She's actually been pretty dang good. Like it became kind of clockwork on the being able to get her back to sleep after she wakes up for a little bit. Like there was some easy times there, right? Let's just say we try to enjoy those the most we can before there's another.
Oh yeah, you got to get them when you can.
Another period there that starts to get tough. But so Friday night, just pretty laid back. I mean, I think we ordered pizza. We put on a show.
Yeah.
And that was it. Nothing too crazy, right? And then Saturday, Katie had asked me, she's like, well, what do you want to, you know, what do you want, like, what are your plans today, right? Because you have to talk about your plans.
You got a game plan.
What are your commitments, right? What are you doing?
This is what we
got
to figure out.
Because
I need to know where you are at all times.
I will tell you, I still have one commitment that I needed to tell you. So when you're done talking, I want to talk about what we did on Saturday. It was very important, but go ahead.
Oh. Anyway, well, no, just tell me what it is now.
Yeah, what you got?
Well, we went and got the kids vaccinated.
Oh, very good.
So St. Luke's Children's Hospital was doing a thing where they rented out the MK building, and we took the kids in at 8:15, and this is what was so rad about it. So we scheduled the appointment through St. Luke's, set it up at the park building on the MK building.
Yeah.
We walk in. As soon as we walk in the door, nurse is standing there holding a bunch of stuffed animals.
Oh, that's cute.
They said... We said, hey, we're here for they're getting their COVID shots and their vaccinations. And the people go, would you like pick out a stuffed animal you can have in case it hurts? And Augie and Hadley were like, oh, my gosh. So they got two stuffed animals. Then
swag.
Then they go, all right, walk down this long hallway. Make sure you pet the therapy dogs. So we walk down this long hallway. Couple of golden boys.
Oh,
beautiful golden retrievers standing there at attention, ready to be petted and loved on by the children. And we're like, wow, this is great. And there was, we keep walking. They're like, keep on going down the side. We walk down to the next thing, walk through the room. They have party decorations and all this stuff in there. And we tell them the name, their birth dates, all that stuff. They said, awesome. All right. Now take the maze to the next point, and we walk through a little maze that they set up with
this
like
very elaborate. Up,
and the kids are like, "This is oh my gosh, we're walking through a maze." Get to the front, they have like the beaded curtain hanging down through one of the things, and you go through, and the nurses are there, and they're all kind of like dressed up, and they go, "Okay, what are your names?" And they've got their little their iPad, and they're like, Hadley and August Gates. And they're like, okay, your guys' number is number 12. Go find nurse number 12. And there's all these numbers all around, and all the nurses are there. And they find number 12, and she's waving at the kids. They come sit down. She talks to them. She has them give them their address, and their, or not their address, but their birth date and name. Kids get their shots. And then she goes, okay, you can go over to that table. At that table, tons of stickers, crayons, coloring pages, goodie bags, all kinds of stuff that the kids could get.
Holy cow.
And then they had to go sit and wait for 15 minutes, right? So that's what they got, all that stuff. And then they got to go sit. And while they were sitting, more therapy dogs cruising around, coming to say hello. Beautiful, beautiful Saturday morning. About 100 kids there and parents while we were there getting done. And then when we were finished, they're like, all right, your 15 minutes are up. The nurse would come around and check. And she's like, okay, you guys can go. Thanks for coming over here today. Don't forget your vaccine card so that you can come back. And the kids were given these like St. Luke's Children's big, huge jumbo vaccine cards that they could put a sticker on it. And they're like, bring them back and you can put another sticker on the second box. And they were like, oh my gosh, we can't. Pretty great. Hadley felt a little groggy on Saturday. Mm-hmm. She took a bit of a nap, but she was fine. August had no issues, so that we seems were good to have there.
Been
so
most of our experience.
Totally good. But anyway, Anthony, sorry to interrupt. I totally forgot that was like the biggest thing of our weekend.
Yeah, so then Saturday, Katie asked me, like, what do you want to do? And I said, well, there's a couple things I'd like to do. I'd like to go for a drive. Mm. I'd like to go stretch my legs, go for a nice drive. And I'd also like to go for a ride on my motorcycle.
Oh, two things.
Double dipping, right?
Yeah, two different items.
Two of those things. Because I said, she's like, do you want to wash a car today? I'm like, nah, I don't really want to wash a car today. Like, I just want to go out and do something. So first thing I did was I took the Evo out and I just wanted to go do the Hidden Springs loop, just go drive it, go have fun. What I found is that, because I haven't driven that since.
Did you put the baby in the back in a car seat?
No, I did not. But I haven't driven that dang thing since the baby got here, right? So I wanted to go out for a drive. What I found is that. Oh.
That's awesome.
Gosh.
Good for you, G.
That's awesome.
That's good. So
continue.
I noticed that. So those Continental Extreme Contact Sports, the high performance tires, So those flat
got those
spot,
on my Camry.
Those flat spot if you don't drive. Them
oh
for a
yeah,
while.
You should have been driving.
I didn't
it.
Know that, and so oops. I was like, so basically, like I had those Firestone Indy Hawk 500s, right? One of the greatest tires ever made. Never really flat spotted bad, but I had read that these Extreme Sport Contacts will flat spot after some time, and so
is it to do with the compound they're made of?
Or? Maybe, but I remember just taking.
You didn't do the warming them up, staring back and forth down your drive down your road.
But going down like the first straightaway, I was like, what is going on right now? And then after a while, went smooth down. I was like, oh, that's nice. It. Yeah,
wore it down.
Warmed itself up a little bit. Oh, okay. So, but took it out for a drive, and I just went and ripped on it, and you know, some back roads, and had just a lot of fun driving it. And I was like, dang, this is really nice because, you know,
I haven't
banged some gears in a while.
And you're at the tail end of good weather. So.
I'm at the tail end of good weather, and so it was just a beautiful day.
It was
I had the windows down and everything, and I did that, and then I got home, and I was talking to Katie. I'm like, okay. I'm going to go for a quick motorcycle ride now, too, because the last time I rode the BMW, the R9T Scrambler, that's when the battery died on me. Mm-hmm. But since then, I've been trying to, like, beef it up. I've been keeping it on the tender. So I'm like, I want to go test it out, see how the bike's doing. So went and gave it a good rip, did the same Hidden Springs loop, had a really good time riding it, got home. I thought, okay, got about an hour of daylight left. Let me top off the oil, check, you know, go around the bike, check for things. Now, this is where my weekend started to get pretty crappy. So I don't want to call it crappy, but just unideal. But also, I don't know how to describe this. So
bad.
Just not awesome. So remember a couple months ago, I was talking about this oil leak that the bike had. This mystery
oil
leak, right?
It went away.
And that went away, right?
It solved itself.
And
apparently.
I'm like, where is this damn mystery leak? I'm like, there's oil coming from somewhere. So I. I was laying on the bike, laying on the ground, like, and I saw, because I saw the oil leak, the oil had actually, from the leak spot area, got onto my shoe, right? So my left-hand side of my shoe, and then all of the here we go, you can actually see. So my foot right there, there's the shifter, there's the kickstand, but the oil was splattering up onto my shoe, and I see this, and I think, holy crap, right? Like, what's going on here? This is actually kind of dangerous, right? Because if oil gets onto my foot peg or anything like that.
Or your exhaust or catches on fire at a light. Or
it finds its way back under the bike and you slip out.
It could just be a dangerous issue. So I'm like under the bike looking, like, where's the oil coming from, right? Is it the seal? Is it – because basically how this works on these engines is the engine's horizontal you'd call it a boxer, right? It's flat. So the engines stick out parallel, and there goes from the end of the engine, you have your valve cover, and then you have your head, and then from the head, you have your cylinder, right? It's three parts there, right there. And the piston comes from the middle of the bike and shoots into that cylinder, right? And then you have your head from there. So I'm looking, and it looks like most of this oil is accumulating where the cylinder meets the actual casing of the engine. And I'm thinking, oh my God, if the seal is bad, I'm going to be pissed, right? Because that is an unideal thing to happen. But if you guys remember, I bought this 2017 bike in 2021 with 500 miles on it. The previous owner never rode it.
Virtually new.
Basically a virtually new bike. The guy didn't ride it. And since then, I've put 1,300 miles on or whatever it's sitting at right now. So I've ridden the crap out of it. But why is it that I cannot, you know, figure out why this is leaking? Did the seals dry up? What happened? So I took a bunch of pictures, sat online with a baby on my chest, looking up photos like what could this possibly be? This doesn't make any sense. And it kept bothering me, right? And so here's this question mark right here. As you can see, I've circled this is an area of interest, right?
Right.
So the next morning, I tell Katie, I say, hey, I am getting to be super obsessed about this thing I cannot figure out because that's just how I am.
Right.
So I would like to go start up the bike again and go take it for another rip and go check it out. So I cleaned off the leakage area completely, went and took it for another drive, and then I parked it and left it running. And then I'm like, I'm just going to sit underneath this engine, like lay on the ground and look underneath this engine to see where this oil is coming from. So I lay there for 10 minutes, whatever it is, and I could literally see it happening before my eye, right? Around that circle with the question mark, I could see this little dot here, right? And I'm like, okay, is it coming out of that little nipple thing, whatever that is? But I'm like, no, because that's where it's casted, right? That's where they breaks the cast or whatever it might be. So then I'm like, okay, I clean off that oil and I'm trying to pick around. So I grab myself my micro brush, like a little tip of my micro brush that I take the little felt piece off, right?
Very small brush.
And I'm kind of digging around, and then Nick, there should be one more picture there where I keep kind of digging around. Oh, that's all you got? Okay. Dang it. Okay, I'm gonna hold on. Let me try to send you this while I'm talking. So I'm just trying to figure out where the heck this thing is, and I see what looks to be this tiniest, I mean, when I say the tiniest, I mean the tiniest little like nick, I guess you could call it, maybe right. Like a nick or like a divot, right next to that. And let me go ahead and send you another picture here, Nick.
But it's not located anywhere you would normally find a seal or anything like that. It's literally in the metal.
So I just went ahead and sent Nick it, so for reference. But so I see this little nick next to that little dot, and that's where the oil is coming from.
It's weeping
and
I'm like, out of there?
It's weeping out of there. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Like,
a cracked block?
I'm like, is it a hole? What is this? It's like a pinhole, right?
Yeah.
Frantically looking online, what is this? And here you go. You can see this little small nick, right?
That little white dot.
That little white dot, right?
That's, oh my
gosh. Oil is seeping from that. So I post on some of the forums online saying, hey, this is what I've found. I post on Facebook on the same bike forums. Basically, the 1200, this engine right here, is like ancient. It's been around forever, right? Like there shouldn't be any problems with these. But that right there is super odd, and couldn't find anything online. But when I posted it up, everybody said that looks to be a casting issue. It's a porous casting is what it is, meaning that there is a divot there that might be extremely, extremely shallow.
Very thin.
And what happened was it could have been a hole from the factory, but then when they powder coat over it, it fills in a lot of things. But with time, heat, and oil, the oil must have finally broken through that powder coat and has now started to weep.
Oh, man.
So I now have a weep hole in the most enough to where it's getting on my shoe, oil spill, coming from the most unideal spot. If it was on the head, probably more ideal. If it was on the valve cover, extremely ideal.
Yeah,
this
is the block.
But this is the actual cylinder, right? So not the block in the middle, but the cylinder
cylinder
next
heads.
To it.
Yeah.
So then what solutions come to mind?
So this is where I don't know what to do because I haven't made the call yet. So the bike's at a warranty. It's a 2017. The warranty lasts 3 years, right? But so the bike wasn't ran enough to actually be able to see that, right? No right. normal person would be able to notice that except for somebody like me or somebody like a detailer's eye.
Whoever would have, if the previous owner had put 2,000 or 3,000 miles on the bike,
they might have noticed.
Then it probably would have been noticed then. But the fact that he barely rode it, and then let it sit forever.
But this seems like an actual manufacturer defect. So I would argue you should talk to the manufacturer. And despite it being out of warranty, this being a possible safety concern, say, hey, what's up? Can you help me with this? Maybe a good grace kind of thing. And if they don't go for it, you just kind of incentivize them a little bit, like, hey, not a good thing, not a good look, guys. Yeah.
So it just sucks because...
And then you turn to JB Weld when,
like,
all else fails.
There's been a couple headaches that this bike has given me, and I'm like, BMW, I want to love you. I want you to be my favorite thing ever. But
stop being such a BMW.
You're doing some things right now that I'm not happy with, and it sucks because the motorcycles are literally bulletproof. I mean, like, really, these bikes are designed to go on and off-road, and that's what the frustrating part is because this is happening on a scrambler. A scrambler is supposed to be able to go off-road,
durable,
off the beaten path, right?
Tough.
Hit some rocks, things like that, and... Now I have this pinhole that I'm just not sure if it's like an iceberg effect, right? How big is the hole beyond what I'm seeing right there from that powder coat? And, you know, some of the responses I got online, some people said, hey, worst case scenario, you could have a...
See what happens when you keep people trapped in your attic?
No. But
turns out they could escape anytime they wanted, apparently.
Well, so let me finish what I'm trying to say. So basically... I could tack weld it, right? But if I tack weld it, then now I have this janky weld on the bottom of my bike, which I don't even know if it's going to fix it in the first place. Then there's JB Weld, even more janky, right? But it works. Some people, but basically, how thin is that metal around there? Am I going to be going down a road someday and then a rock is actually going to kick up and blow a hole straight through that cylinder? Mm. I have no idea. The other hard part is that we don't really have the most prestigious shops here in Boise on BMWs. I've mentioned this before. It kind of sucks, man. We're in
our actual
Idaho,
BMW motorcycle dealership went out of business, basically.
The thing is, we have the dealers, right?
Right.
We don't have the good people that we want, the good technicians.
Well, all the guys that were at the old shop are in the wind, so to speak.
Pretty much. And so, or retired.
Yeah.
So I'm in this kind of crappy position where I have this low mileage bike that now was weeping oil in a very unideal spot that's out of warranty, that the best option would have the cylinder replaced, right? If BMW is willing to pay for it. The part's $1,100. The labor, I'm assuming, would probably be another $1,000, right?
Yeah.
If I can get it covered under some type of Goodwill repair, that would be the best case scenario, but also scares me because, again, people are working on my bike and I'm just paranoid about that kind of stuff that I don't, you know. It just sucks. Why do I have to buy a European motorcycle? Right?
Because it was cool.
I should have bought a Japanese motorcycle because I could work on that. Our friends over at Carl's can work on that. Yep. Our friend Josh here, who works here, can work on that and literally do everything on that bike that could possibly need to be done. But I'm stuck with this oddball thing. So that kind of put a kink in my weekend, and it's all I could think about, right?
Right.
Which I told Katie, my baby is the most important thing, right? So that's obviously that. But when my baby is sleeping and I have my phone in front of me, I'm like, research. And I've heard of porous castings on other motorcycles. Like Josh was telling me that Victory motorcycles had porous castings where they would develop leaks literally just out of the block or out of an area where you're like, how is that even possible? But it's funny.
Just pushing
because
oil.
All this time I thought it was crazy.
Right.
And I'm like, this leak is happening, then it's not happening. What is going on? It is literally appearing out of nowhere. And it was.
Yeah.
It's literally appearing out of the smallest little thing. Hmm. So that's where from now, you know, I don't know. I have to figure out my plan. So the rest of the weekend, what did I end up doing? I had a Marvel marathon myself.
Oh,
and I watched a ton of Marvel movies. And I finished off Falcon and the Winter Soldier, right?
Excellent.
Okay.
Enjoyed that thoroughly.
Yeah.
Literally loved every episode. Had no issues with that. I tried watching WandaVision.
Told you.
The first few episodes are a bit of a slog if you're not expecting it. It changes a lot as you go further.
No, I couldn't even get past them.
I told you to start at four. Start watching.
So, but then that means there's three episodes left. There's like seven episodes, right?
Yeah.
So I'm basically watching. So basically the WandaVision, not a fan. Hated the whole entire black and white thing. Hated the aspect ratio.
I like that they tried something different. Wasn't my favorite? No. But I like that they tried something different, especially for such a mainstream property to try something that, like, that's a swing.
Apparently, People are saying that Wanda's powers, whatever it in the thing, are pretty powerful, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. She's no, pretty much she is
the goat.
Yeah. So, and
right
I
right up there with Marvel and. Yeah.
I need to watch maybe this is the last one.
Just watch the last.
And then D comes into cement.
No, it just sucks, man.
Yeah. So, if you watch at least the last four episodes, get past episode three, then you can kind of see what.
I just hated everything from the beginning.
But I will say, there's a couple things to know is that if you want to know. You can easily learn it, and you don't have to watch it.
Yeah. So, moving on.
Have you watched any of the What Ifs?
I haven't watched the What Ifs yet. Oh. So, but I watched Falcon and Winter Soldier. Love that. Tried to watch WandaVision. Hated that so far, right? Then I tried to watch Loki, right? Hard also to watch because I feel like Loki, while I liked the premise of it, I felt like there was a lot of filler. There's a ton of filler in that show.
It definitely felt like filler in parts. And but when it's good, it is really enjoyable.
The filler, I guess, how do I say this? The actor who plays Loki.
Yeah, Tom.
Yeah, Hiddleston.
Right? He's not particularly like my favorite person, like favorite actor in the world. I just think he's kind of boring to watch just in general. Not as exciting to me, right? I like him in all of the Avenger movies where his part is very small or like.
He's just like a fun little. Dash of
yeah, it's like a dash of whatever, but a whole series about it. It was hard for me to watch. Yeah.
And
so
I'm the opposite. I love Loki's character, and I've loved him since the first thing.
Yeah,
first Avengers. Like I've loved all of that. I think for me, I took that as a different way of like, we finally get more Loki. Because like when Loki died in Avengers, that was one of the big rules for Carly and I because we couldn't watch. We couldn't play that part for Augie. Because Augie loves Loki. That's his favorite character in the entire MCU is Loki. But again, that is Augie.
Yeah. So but basically, also not a fan, right?
So far he's just talked about shows, though, G. He hasn't talked about a movie yet.
No, but then I I rewatched Civil War. I rewatched Infinity War. What else did I heck do? I rewatched a lot of different things.
Yeah.
But basically, it was a whole Marvel weekend.
Right.
I'm sick of watching TV. I hate watching TV now.
But that's all you can do.
So I'm trying to watch anything that's going to bring me any bit of happiness because I'm tired of sitting. Mm-hmm. So that's been going on. But other than that, though, the baby's doing good.
Good.
I was able to, you know, play around with her. I'm starting.
She's a month old.
She's starting to smile more now, which I'm not sure is on purpose or on accident, but I'm having a good time. And I don't know. She just seems to be getting cuter, man. I don't know. The chunkier she gets, like her little legs and everything.
You're going to want to eat them.
Oh, my gosh. She's so freaking cute.
You're going to find yourself wanting to take a bite out of
her. I literally can't even stand it, man. Like, I look at her. I go, oh, my God. Like, how are you this cute?
Mm-hmm.
It's insane to me. So I'm not just saying that because she's my baby.
No, but it's weird because it is your offspring.
Yeah.
And it's weird because you feel like, oh, I never really cared for kids. And I know, Dane, you feel that way a lot. You're like,
I always love kids.
Like, but
kids
anything against kids.
No, but you know what I mean? Like, you've always said, like, I don't want kids. I don't need kids. I've got things I want to do.
I'll be the cool uncle. But yeah.
You would be in that same position.
Yeah.
If you had a child, you'd be like, oh my gosh, found myself like just doing it. It's a weird.
Transformative effect for a lot of
people. It's a very strange feeling where you're like, oh, man, they're doing all this fun stuff. Like you, and you're going to have that the rest of your life.
But I will throw a caveat at that, at the people who are having a hard time and they think kids are going to fix that. Think twice about that.
No, I don't recommend having kids for people that are having a hard time in life in general.
Oh, yeah, no.
I'm not saying anybody here. I'm saying like... In my experience, I've seen past friends and people I knew who were like, we're having a hard time. Maybe kids will fix it.
That's not a transformative experience.
And I'm like, no, stop.
No.
Other people have marriage issues and they're like, we're going to have kids. I'm like, don't do that.
It's not going to help and you're going to ruin a kid's life in the process. Don't do it.
So, but no, if you're in a good spot in life, then absolutely, dude. It's a blast. Me and Katie are having a ton of fun.
You're tired, but you're having fun.
We miss her all the time when we're even away from her for a couple hours. Even if I'm on my motorcycle ride, I get back home. I'm like, I missed my baby. Yeah. You know, let me see her, right? Aww. But we're trying to keep up on that as much as possible, and just I guess still keep the household running while still doing things. I don't know. It's hard to explain. You're doing a lot, but in a small space of about 8 square feet
around
a couch,
or the fact that it's been a month has already gone by.
Yeah.
Like, and you're like, oh, I can't. Yeah. You know, like, you don't realize how fast it's gone.
Yep.
Yeah.
And go, like, we haven't done anything. Yeah. We no, bugged out.
Like, it's been a ton of fun. And so, but like I said, I'm just kind of sick of watching
that's
TV.
That's my favorite point.
So, I that's the only thing I don't want to do anymore is watch TV, but I feel like I'm still kind of stuck doing it. What I need to get, honestly, man, I need to get that Peloton out in front of the TV, and I need to get her somehow attached to the Peloton. And that way, at least I'm actively moving.
You just like strap her to the handlebar.
No, I used to do that. So
I need to get some type of exercise.
So I used to do that. I would watch Red Sox games.
Yeah.
Hadley was born in March. So the first 2-3 months that she was alive was right in the middle of the 11 season, 2011 season. And I brought my bike in and I had an indoor trainer so I could put my bike on.
Yeah.
So I'd hook the back wheel up to it, and I put a fan on in front of me, and I would come home every night, and my mother-in-law would go run errands or whatever, and I'd have Hadley, and I would literally put her in her bassinet, like, or bouncer near me, and then I would sit on the bike, and I would ride my bike in my house and watch Red Sox games and sit there and ride with Hadley there. Or there were times where I'd actively hold her while sitting on the bike and sitting up and riding just to get some exercise and play with her.
I don't trust you said my taint muscle isn't built up enough.
Oh yeah, you have that. Yeah, you got
to
build
so
it up.
So I think that it would be uncomfortable for me to try to do that at this point. But
point was, that's, I know that feeling, that I did that exact same thing.
So I'm ready to, I'm at that breaking point of, like, I need to be more active than what I'm being, because it's just starting to be a lot of inactivity. So, other than that, though, throughout the weekend, I didn't really get to play any much Forza. I wanted to play with Dane and throw down on that. I do want to get out in the garage, do some more organization. But right now I have this headache of a bike thing I need to fix. I'm glad it's happening during wintertime, because at least it's not affecting my riding time.
Yeah.
And I can try to get it fixed. I don't know what BMW is going to say. I'm hoping they're going to be able to, like, somehow remedy the situation. It'd be amazing if they could, because I really don't want to have to pay for that, but we'll see what happens. Otherwise, I'm putting some duct tape on it, and I'm selling it. And I'm going to say, hey, somebody come buy this motorcycle.
That'd be so
because
sad.
Because I don't want to deal with it. I think so that's sad. The other thing I noticed this weekend. I'm at that – I guess it's not – I want to call it a point, but I'm
fine. It's not as important
to you anymore. It's not as important to me, and I'm feeling that if something is going to cause me that much stress and affect my life, I don't want it in my life.
Now you see why I got rid of my dogs when I had children.
Ooh. Yeah, but I love my dogs, and I would never do that.
I got rid of stuff that I – oh, my gosh.
I would take a bullet for my dogs.
But that was that.
That stuff has souls.
Yeah.
But that takes precedent, the material items that you have in your life.
Well – I just can't
be in that level that they once were.
Well, I just realized, like, I was, like, in a bad mood after that, and I'm like that baby doesn't deserve for me to be in a bad mood just because something's not working out. But if that's causing me that much stress, why do I have it in the first place?
Exactly.
Like, I don't want that if that's going to be the case. And so that's where I was telling Katie, and she's like, this has changed you. I'm like, she's like, what about the Evo? Does that cause you stress? I'm like, a lot of stress, but I still love that car.
I know. That's all our question. But it's like if something happens, like engine block or something, where you get, if something happens to the Evo, that's going to change the way you think.
Well, I just get it now when you see those people who are like, hey, I have kids. I don't have time to deal with it. I don't want to deal with it. Like, and they sell it for cheap. And, like, the 20-year-old version of me is like, yes, this is awesome.
And then
I get why that happens now.
Then you just buy a late model CRV and go, this is life now.
It's just not that important. And so, anyway, I'll see what happens. I'll keep you guys updated. But that just was a crappy
thing. The last thing, now that you're done, I want to throw out there before we go here. Thank you for that, G. That was a wonderful little detail that Dane's massage chair has a taint improvement feature. Thank you. I'm going to throw this out there because none of us have talked about it or anything, but I love a controversial subject to throw in at the last second. Just get some quick opinions here.
What is this going to do?
Yeah, so this one could really light a fire under some people in the audience, could get people going.
Is it political?
I'm throw it out there.
Please don't bring up political things.
In the car world, it is. Okay. So what are your first impressions of the new Acura Integra?
Oh my God.
I haven't even seen it.
I hate it more than anything I've ever seen in my life.
It is a thing.
Oh, we saw it on Monterey.
It is literally, it has always been a fancy Civic, which a lot of people use as an argument. Like, and the first ones that came to America were five doors anyway. Why are you guys acting like you're mad? It's like, yes, but in all of Acura's advertising and hype footage for building up the new Integra release, they were almost exclusively videos of people with their two-door coupe Integras. And everybody kind of knew it was going to be a four-door based on the shut line you could see in the teasers they put out. But you saw the front and the rear and you're like, okay, it's like a modernized thing, but it's still going to be an Integra. Cool. And then you see the side profile. It's literally like they just took a side angle of a Honda Cross Tour. You remember those.
Yeah.
And they just melted it a little bit more and then stuck the Acura corporate face with a new, interesting-looking, kind of Hyundai Genesis-looking tail on it, and you wound up with this thing.
No, it
and
is a Hyundai it Genesis.
Is, it is. But the Hyundai Genesis looks better than it does.
It does look better than this, yeah.
This is really a tough one, and I get it because they made it a $30,000 car. And granted, this is only the base Integra, so there's probably still going to be a Type S or Type R that eventually shows up. They'll probably call it a Type S because that's the Acura thing. But it's just not...
No, it sucks.
I don't know,
and
man.
It's one, not... And they're throwing the 1.5 in it from the Civic Si.
The fan renders are so much better than the actual result, which is often the case. But in this case, it is just... People are freaking out. People are so mad. But at the same time, a lot of people are like having that typical like contrarian backlash to the backlash where they're like, you guys are all mad, but you know full well this is what was going to happen. And I find it so fascinating because in reality, if they had done anything where they actually like tried to swing for the fences a little and do something a little more daring, I think people would have been mad, but at least they would have given them credit for trying. This just feels like the absolute laziest.
I'm intrigued. I'm going to have to go take a look at it.
Yes. Nick is correct. You should be happy that they did put a 6-speed manual and an LSD in it, which is cool.
Well, I know, but I would just go buy. Literally the 2020 Civic Si.
Basically,
that has all those things.
The new Integra as a base Integra is the Si. Yeah, well, and it's not particularly luxurious. No. This is, for all intents and purposes, this is the ILX with an update. With the Integra name stamped
but
on
it. But it's just, it's freaking ugly, man. And so that's the
I don't know if I'd call it ugly
it
so much
ugly,
as it's bland.
It's ugly.
It's bland.
That front end. That front end did have potential, right?
Okay.
And then they ruined it from everything
My issue
else.
Isn't with the nose.
Like, look,
I don't like the nose
I hate
much.
What they're
but
doing.
But the side profile straight across the side. That is the most offensive to me.
And so what's up with all these crappy new hoods coming from this year, right? So why is the hood square when the body is not right there? Why? What happened to these shaped hoods? Because they did the same crap on
Nick,
the Civic Si.
Do you have any shots from
where it
side?
Looks like it's a trunk on the front? I hate it.
From the side is the worst by far.
Okay.
The rear, my God,
like,
it sucks.
I say this as a fan of liftbacks. I love liftbacks.
No, I hate
the side
this.
Profile is offensive it's, on this they, to me. It yeah, reminds me of a they, BMW 3 Series Gran Turismo.
It reminds me of somebody with a super large forehead with a shape of a head that goes like that, and then it goes to like a large forehead.
Yeah, they had a chance to really make it look a lot cooler, and they really kind of dropped the ball. It looks like just a...
Grant, you're kind of right. It does look like a Seat, maybe even like a Skoda if you kind of
squint
a little.
It does
so,
have that
but
Genesis,
again,
but,
this
yeah.
is the prototype, right? So I'm assuming they're probably going to look at this information. They might make a couple more tweaks to it.
Yeah,
potentially.
When they make the type whatever version, it's probably going to have
some I really doubt that they're going to change the overall shape.
But
of
that's
the
your baseline shape. Yeah. They're not going to change that. And I really doubt you're going to see a coupe. And I understand from a sales perspective, coupes don't really sell anymore unless they're like purpose driven coupes like the BRZ or something like that. But in this case, you're dealing with a family sedan that you gussied up a little bit, but it's an economy car.
Dude, I wish they would have just taken the 2020 Civic Si coupe chassis, right? Made some tweaks
but
to
I don't
it,
like it.
And then made that into an Integra with a larger rear spoiler. I think the thing is everybody's like, the people that are justifying the new Integra are like, hey, it's less boy racer than the previous Civic, so we like it, right? I'm like, so it's weird because the audience that they're trying to capture in terms of what they're trying to win over for a lot of people is going to be the people that like the looks of the boy racer stuff, but then they complain about it. Yeah, no, like you said,
thank
that's
you, G.
Exactly what it is. So I don't know. Like, it's weird because the Civic Type R, I can even agree myself, being a fan of that, is probably was a little bit too much
right.
flair, yeah. right?
Sure.
I get it. So dial it back a little bit for maybe the Integra. Dial it back a little bit for the new Civic Type R. But the new Civic Type R, I don't even know. I don't even know if that will grow on me. I'm just mad that that's happening because that I mean, those cars are going to be – it's the future.
That's the way things go. Credit where credit's due. They start at 30 grand, which is rare for a car these days in that position. But it looks like they barely tried style-wise to do anything remotely interesting. And you're just slapping the Integra name on something that
– Dane, I would like really the homologation special. I would really like the
– GR Yaris, please.
The GR Yaris. That Give would me be that. Great.
I'm all over that.
I would like that.
We're going to get the GR Corolla, and hopefully it's got – the all-wheel drive system and the same three-cylinder. I would really like that, but I don't know, man.
Dane, the GR Yaris, I watched like several videos on it. I watched Chris Harris's review on Top Gear.
Love that
And
car.
I'm like, damn, this is an awesome car that we don't get.
Oh, and that's a definite future classic. Like, that one's going to go down in the history books.
Well, it already, the wide body on that is like so aggressive in the rear. I'm like, holy crap.
Like, most car companies aren't doing anything like that these days. Go figure, it's Toyota of all companies that actually did that. So kudos to them. But anyway, that's the end of our show. I just really wanted to throw that out there as like a little firebomb to get people going.
Yeah.
So, yeah, let us know in the comments what you think. Don't let our opinion sway you. What did you think when you first saw it? What was your very first impression? Front, rear, side profile. What were you expecting versus what you got? Anyway, that's all I got to throw in there. Thank you so much for listening, guys. Thank you so much for watching. And of course, to everybody in the chat, thank you for participating. That always makes us fun. So we really do enjoy that part. Anyways, guys, if you're not subscribed, make sure you're subscribed. In the next 5 seconds, just click that button. That's all you got to do. And we will catch you later this week for Q&A Thursday over on the Main Rag Company YouTube channel. So, without further ado, have a good week.
See ya.